Okay, let's get started.
It's the Rabbinic internship for the space program.
Yeah, I guess that's so let's get started. So we were in the middle of not just the middle of Ksavim, but we were spending a long time on this on the Shir Gris. Well, actually, not so much. We spent a lot of time on just Hakdama to Ksavim, and now we're getting into the Shir Gris Va'od, which we've said, I think we mentioned last time, the standard psak that everybody, kimat everybody follows in America at least, is the size of an American penny, even though guys showed me afterwards that there are lots and lots of different sources that would suggest that it's as large as a nickel. I think Minach Chabad is as small as a dime, but the standard practice is the size of an American penny. Gabe was showing me that in the Chut Shani, in the Rav Nissim Karelitz, as a Chron Levracha, he draws a circle and he says that I'm being makbid when we go to print that the circle is exactly the right size, mechule, and it's the size of a nickel. And he says this was the sheet of the Chasam Sofer and this was the sheet of the Chasam Ish, that it's the size of a nickel. Okay, could be. I don't know, but be that as it may, it seems that the overwhelming majority opinion is that it's the size of a penny. Okay, but the main discussion we were about to have is what exactly is this Shir Kigris Va'od? Because the Gemara has this three-way machlokes, whether you can be tola in bugs or not. One shita is, yeah, always, the other, or kimat always, the other shita is never, and the Gemara says, we follow the middle ground, we follow the Divrei Machria, the middle ground opinion, and the middle ground opinion is up until a gris. You don't have to actually have killed the macholas, you don't have to actually have seen the macholas, but up until a gris va'od, that's when you could be tola b'macholas. So the chakira we were going to discuss is l'may nafka mina, meaning is this a tulia, or is this a just part of the gezeira? Meaning, is this that Chazal said that less than a gris is not going to be metame simply because we're actually being tola in a machalas, that we think that there might have been a bug that you killed? Or is it, no, it's not a din in tliya, it's just that's the shear. Whenever Chazal came up with a mitzvah or an isra, they gave a shear to it. So the shear of a gris was the shear that Chazal invented the din of ksamim. When they invented the din of ksamim, they gave a shear, and that shear is a gris. And the most obvious nafkamina is whether we could still be tola, whether we could still be makil on palchmi gris bismanazah. Because Bisman Azah, obviously we don't have Ma'acholas, and even if we did have Ma'acholas, I mean, that's a lot of blood, right? The size of, even if we do have lice around Bisman Azah, our lice are not nearly as big. Even when you kill a mosquito, you know, how much blood already comes in, you never see the amount of blood, even if it just bit you, so it's full of your blood, you never see the amount of blood that's the size of a penny. So that's the most obvious nafkamina, but I want to discuss the other nafkaminas as well, because it helps us really go through a number of different inyanim that come up in this simin. The Ramah in Kuf Tzadivav Si'if Yud, the Ramah writes in Kuf Tzadivav Si'if Yud, Yesh Omrim De Bishlosh Yamim Rishonim Shal Yemei HaSvira Imatza Kesem Ein Tolin Osolahakel Kemosha Tolin Shark Sun. Ramah is a chumra that even though there's a din that we're going to learn about called Tulia, meaning aside from the Shir Gris, there is definitely another din called Tulia that we've spoken a little bit about. You know, if a woman has yeast infection, she has hemorrhoids, there's she was Bishuk Shal Tabachim, she was, playing with red magic marker, whatever it is, whatever there is such a din called Tulia. We don't rely on Tulios, says the Ramah, in the first 3 days of the Shiva Nikim, like we would the rest of the days. Why? Dishloshiyam rishonim tzrichalios nikia legamri. The first 3 days she needs to be absolutely nikia. Avalacharkach dino kishar kesem v'cheinogin. But after that, after the first 3 days are over, when you're in days 4 through 7, okay, so then as it been like any other kesem, and that's our minhag. So says the Ramah. V'dafka kesem shu yosem mikigris va'od. Aval pachos mikigris va'od. Tola bikina afilu b'shloshi yom rishon. Then the Ramah adds something. He says, yeah, we're not going to be tola in the first 3 days, but pachs mikgris is still shy in the first 3 days. We're still going to be makel and pachs mikgris in the first 3 days. Rama is pretty much saying, what's that issue depend on? Whether you're going to be making a pachmi gris in the first 3 days, is it a tzliya or not? If it's a tzliya, we don't do tzliyos in the first 3 days. But if it's a shir, so then yeah, we do. So the Rama says, bipemale, essentially, that it is not a tzliya. So that's based on the Trumas Hadash and the Simon Reish Mem test. And it seems to assume very, very clearly that pachmi gris is not a tzliya because we wouldn't rely on tzliyos during the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyim. Notably, the Trumas Hadashan gives another reason to be Mekel B'Pachas Mikugris. Not because it's not a Taliya, but rather Trumas Hadashan writes, Aval Kesem Pachas Mikugris Vaday Talina Leili Olam. Right? We're always going to be Mekel B'Pachas Mikugris. Why? De Imlo Kein Ein Shum Isha Yichal Li Tahir. Because otherwise, life would be unlivable. No woman would ever be able to be Tahora Labayla. He says, it's not me, it's a Gemara. V'alchitanya, perakaro akesem. Amr Mishum Mengamliel, Lidvarai, Ein Kates. Mashiach will never come. Right? That's, we're never going to have a woman that's Tahora Labayla. De'elcha isha shi Tahora Labayla. Li'olam, she'ein kol mita umita, she'ena la'akama v'akama, tipos da ma'acholas. So, he says, you see, they know the miyachal lizar mi macholas vim kain ilo talinu mi macholas b'shol shemar shonim ein ishi yichol lispar zayin nikiyim. So the Shema Zeshen would be practically impossible to ever get Shiva Nikiyim if we were to be machmir on Pachas Mikugris, which sounds like the Shema Zeshen is saying that it is a tliya. Pachas Mikugris is a tliya. But the chumra that we're not going to rely on tliyos within the first 3 days is only on shar tliyos that won't make life unlivable. But on this one tliya, where if you don't rely on it, it will make life unlivable. No one will ever become Torah Labayla. We're not going to rely we're gonna have to still rely on it even in the first 3 days. So even though the Ramah sounds like it's like checkmate that this is clearly not a tliya, when you look back at the original source and look at Shmuel Sedeshan, not so checkmate. Meaning it could be that it is a tliya, but we have to rely on it. It is somewhat surprising to me that in the times of Shmuel Sedeshan, that the reality that he's describing was still true, that the ein kol mita, there's no bed anywhere that doesn't have kama tipos dam. So meaning if that would be the case, if that's the real svara, then bismanenu, the halacha should change. Meaning nowadays, if really Shmuel Sedeshan is saying we don't want to rely on tliyos, but when we have no choice, we have to. We'd rather not rely on any tliyos. So bisman hazeh, we do have a choice. Because there are many, many beds that do not have kama tipei dam, and which shouldn't be a problem at all for women to be able to find to get shiva nikiyim.
You're saying that there's always going to be a better thing during the first 3 days, that there should be some sort of thing that would be less Chris than it, because you always should be pushing off the shiva nikiyim. That would still be true, no?
Would that still be true in the first 3 days that women have tipei dam? So much? I don't think that's really true. Meaning that there are, obviously she's more likely to find stains in the first couple of days than she is later on in the Shiva Nikiyim, because she's much closer to her period, so there's more still there. But ein she'echol l'tayer li'olam, it may take her another day or two, but she's never going to be able to become tar. Hard to imagine that would be the case. So that would be nafkamina number one, let's say, between, I mean, other than the obvious nafkamina of whether we can still rely on Pachas Mikugris. So nafkamina number one is, should we rely on it during the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyim? And on the surface, it sounds like the Rama is saying that yes, because it's not a Taliya, but it could be that he's saying what the Trumas Zeshan is saying, that it is a Taliya, but it's a Taliya that we have to rely on. Another nafkamina emerges from the Pesach Chuvah and Sif Katan Yud Beis. Pesach Chuvah over here in Sif Katan Yud Beis quotes a Mi'il Tzedaka. Right, this is Ayin B'Chuvah's Mi'il Tzedaka Sof Simen Chaf Shekasav V'chein Shamati Min HaChaverin Dehayu Min HaRa'u Litame Kesem Shachar Shekatan Migris Mitame Ze'atzmo Shir Shul Liflos Ma'chola Shu Adom
He says, it's interesting that Poskim don't mention this,
But what's the idea? There are four types of red that are tamei, but then there's another color that's tamei, and that's obviously black. Why is black tamei? Because the assumption is that red dam could turn black. Good. So dam will shalaka, so red dam can turn black. The blood of the macholas was always red, apparently, and apparently it doesn't have the same properties that would make it sometimes turn black. The blood of the macholas is always red. What if you find a black stain smaller than a gris? Right? Would it be tamei or not? So l'chora, this is 100% a nafkamina, this chakira. That if you hold that a pachsmika gris is a tlia, because you're being told of the macholas, well, macholas never makes black blood, and therefore probably the holding of pachsmika gris was only on red blood, was never on black blood. And you have to be machmir. But if it's not a tlia, it's just that's a shir that Chum gave for a kesem. The shir kesem is kigris v'od. But the pachas from that is not a shir kesem. So even by black blood, that would be the halacha. So the Pesach Teshuva quotes from Yil Tzedakah, and he says he heard from Chaverim that we should be mitamei a kesem shachar shekatan migris. For this very reason, because macholas doesn't have this color. He says it's amazing that the poskim don't mention it. And then he says, Ayin sidrei tara shatam alav. Dinela mimenu zivrei arayvid b'sefer balei ha-nefesh. Shakasov came behedya. You know, it's always a dangerous thing to say. It's a pella that no one ever mentioned this before. You know, Jews take that as a challenge. Nobody, you know, how much Jewish literature there is. So it's not, but over here, it's like a basic one. You know, it's a basic text. It's a bali anefesh on the right that he says. Deina told the b'macholus el kesem adam that only if it's red. V'kasov mikol makom v'makom shem mitzuyim pushim shalichluk shalem shachar v'en l'chasad nisad shalem shalotipas shcharos chemeilu. Certainly, if you're living in a reality where there are bugs that make black stains, so then you can be told in those, be told in the black, the bugs that make black stains. But generally speaking, he says the Ravid Taka says this way. So l'chora, this is another very clear nafkamina in this chakira, whether it's a din in tliya or a din in shir. Third nafkamina, the Badei Shulchan in Kuf Tzadi on Sif Hey in the Biurim Dibur Maschul Yesh, he says that let's say you lost the kesem. You know what happens most commonly nowadays? A woman finds a kesem on a baguette. She finds on her underwear, so she put it aside to show it later to a rav or whatever to get a psak of it. And the housekeeper was there that day, and the housekeeper saw dirty garments, so threw it in the hamper and did the laundry. So it's all washed out now, it's already gone. So if it's just a tliya, the assumption is that without a known tliya, she is tameya. But if they never made a gezeira on pachsmik gris, there's no assumption that we can simply apply safik terabanan lakula, meaning how would that work out? That say again. That if it's a tliya, Rabbi Sablowski has this word in his book. That if it's a tliya,
How would she know? If she knew it was
like a
then she could say, okay, I knew
this. Yeah.
Time.
So why would this be an afkamina? She didn't know the colors. You can't be tola if you don't know the size,
but you could say
you're not sure if this was a shear or not, so that the whole din of ksamim is drabanan, so you say something drabanan lukula. But a tliya, you need to know that you have something to be tola in, and you don't know, right? I mean, you can't make up a tliya. A tliya needs to be something, you need to know that you have something to be tola in. But if you don't know that you have anything to be told in, because this thing might have been bigger than a gris, so it could be that you have no tliya to point to, so that it would be a problem. Okay, so that would be a third nafkamina. The final nafkamina that Rabbi Sablowski quotes, he quotes all four of these. The final one that Rabbi Sablowski quotes is the following. The Rambam in the ninth parak of Yisurei Bia, Halacha Vav, writes as follows. Ma bin kesem hanimtza al besara lekesem hanimtza al bigda. What's the difference between a kesem on the basar and a kesem on the beged? Shakesem animtza al basara ein lo shir. A kesem on the basar, there's no minimum shear to it. He says there is a shear of kigris va'od when it comes to a kesem on a beggar. Nimtza tipin tipin ein mitstarfos. Hayaru chareza mitstarif. If you find it drops, meaning there's separate stains in different drops, they're not mitstarif. But if it's an oblong shaped, you know, or something like that, kesem, then it is mitstarif. But the assumption seems to be that a tliya has to be reasonable, and if it's on her body, it's no longer reasonable to assume that it came from above. However, if you were told that it's just not part of the gezeira of ksamim, what difference does it make if it's on her body or on the bed? If they were just not gozer, the kesem pachs mi gris, so why would you assume that that there's a difference between her body and a beggar? Either way, it's not pachs mi gris. So how do we possibly know this? Take a look at Shulchan Aruch Sivvav. So Shulchan Aruch Sivvav quotes two days. Had bin and shiura, bein bekesem animtza al chaluka, bein bekesem animtza al besara. First day in Shulchan Aruch, shiur kegris even if it's found on her body, on her skin. V'yesh omrim, shalo amrel bekesem animtza al chaluka, al bekesem animtza al besara b'vav, v'mekom shchosh v'lem e'inul shiur. And now, the shir kigris is only when the kesem is found al chaluka. But if it's found al basara, then even if it's pachas mikashir. So he quotes two deos. So interesting. Mechaber always paskins like the Rambam. Right? Over here he quotes a stam, not like the Rambam. And then v'yesh omrim, like the Rambam. So the Rambam is relegated to a yesh omrim, implying that we paskin that there's a shir kigris even al basara. Shach and sivkat and yud, paskins like the Rambam. Right, shachan subkut yud. Lefi ane istaiti ein lahakal klal. To b'shask abe lo dilma avin kiritzua mashmaka Rambam. He says the Gemara sounds more like the Rambam, and therefore I'm going to paskin like the Rambam. Now, machlokas rishonim, shach paskins like the Rambam. Mechaber sounds like he doesn't paskin like the Rambam. Sablaski thought we normally do not assume like the Rambam. That we normally assume that even al basara, you need to have a sheer gris. Now, even if you do assume like the Rambam, Tiferes Moshe says that if it's found partially on the body and partially on a baguette, and each one is less than a gris, she's tahor. Why would that help? The logic is that the only reason the Rambam is machmir for a small stain on the body is that the absence of anything on the baguette is a reyesa, it's an indicator that it has to have come from the body and not from anywhere else. But once you find it on the beged, then you don't have any such reyesa, and therefore you could assume that it came from the outside, and then you follow the normal rules of ksav. Wow. Meaning, it turns out very counterintuitive. If she finds a kesem on her basar, that's pachas mikugris, right? I'm going to say tamen. But add to that a little bit of blood on her clothing as well. Add to it, in addition to that, a little bit of blood on her clothing as well, tahara. Because the whole idea of it being on her body is that it's a reisa. How come it's not on her clothing? Oh, it must be that it came megufa. But once it's on her clothing also, oh, okay, so now it's a regular kesem. That's how he's touching up the Rambam. Meaning, he's assuming that, like we said, that the Rambam is a din in Taliya. And the Rambam says, I'm not going to be tola on a macholos when it's on her body, because macholos is something that comes from the outside, and it's unlikely that it would be on her body if it was really a macholos. The Chavos Das in Sifkan Vav disagrees. He says the Rambam would be machmir. So Rabbi Forst points out that between those who disagree with the Rambam entirely and those who disagree with the Chavos Das' understanding of the Ram, we have plenty of room to be makil if it's found partially on the body and partially on the bed. Meaning, he says, even if you want to be machmir like the Rambam in general, but when it's partially on the body, partially on the beged, it's like a svek svek al halacha. Then maybe we pass like the first day in Shulchan Aruch, and even if we pass like the Rambam, mehechidesi that we pass in like the Chavos Das, maybe we pass like the Tiferes Moshe. Good questions. On all these nafkaminas, Rabbi Sadlovsky is makel. He says that the practice is, the minig is, that we're makel in all four cases of nafkamina. There may be more nafkaminas Rabbi Sadlovsky doesn't mention over here, though. Rabbi Forst quotes. Let's say you have a bedikah cloth. What do we call a bedikah cloth in the halachic terminology? An aid. There's another word that's often associated with it. An aid ha baduk. Why is it called an aid ha baduk? When was it baduk?
Pre-checked, otherwise you can't.
Exactly. It's pre-checked to make sure it doesn't have any stains on it in advance, otherwise it's useless. But I mean, you're going to have a cloth that may have been filthy before if she stuck it inside herself. And now it turns out that it's filthy. Okay, but that didn't tell you anything. What if you have an aid she'ino baduk? An aid, she took a bedikah cloth in the middle of the night, it was dark in the room, she didn't pull it out of the package, she just found one on the floor or something. Not so sanitary, I guess, but you know. And she did a bedikah. So, if you have an aid she'ino baduk, you can still have a taliyah. But the other kulas of ksavim won't apply because there's chashash hagash. Right? Meaning, if let's say she has a yeast infection, right? So that could still be a taliyah. So if pachos meka gris is a taliyah, it could be that we'll be makel by an aid she'eno baduk. But if it's a din in dinei ksavim, then we don't follow dinei ksavim when there's something that's inserted into her body at all. It's a fifth nafkamina between whether it's a taliyah or whether it's a shir. And an eid she'eino baduk, you don't have dinei ksavim, but you still do have taliyahs. A yeast infection is a bad example, obviously. I mean, assuming that there could have been somewhere else that the blood came from outside of her body. Or Rabbi Forrest suggests another possible nafkamina, a stain that definitely came from the body. There's no tliya of a macholas, because the Gemara says explicitly the macholas doesn't hang out there. There's no macholas but also makom. So if you know that the stain came from the body, so if it's less than a gris, so if less than a gris is a din in tliya, so then the tliya wouldn't work. But if chazal were just never goes on pachas mi gris without a hargasha, maybe you can be making folks from gris, right? Well, that's a very practical one, meaning that means any stain found in underwear didn't come from anywhere else, right? So you know it came from the body, but there was no hargasha, which to us means nothing was inserted into her and it's not her regular period, right? So there's no hargasha, it's just a stain, but there's no tliya b'macholas. You can't have a tliya b'macholos because Gemara says b'feirish b'macholos doesn't go, but also makam shalisha. So if it's a din shir ksamim, you have what to be makel with. Minig is, we're makel, right? We're makel on that. That's the overwhelming practice. Yeah.
I just don't understand. If it's less than a gris, and we hold it's a tliya, how are we able to say with the bedikah cloth that it'll be okay?
Because if the aid was anal baduk, so we can assume that any thing dirty you found in it might have been there before, if you have something to be told it about. In the Sefer Yerayim, quoted by the Lechem the Simlin, it's also quoted by the Pesach Yishuv here, it's a cut and test. He says, don't ever rely on this anymore nowadays. I mean, he's totally machmir about the whole issue. Yeah. I am to say for Rain some Kufsadi Bays. Shakas of Danan Lubikim Bashira Gris. We don't know the Shira Gris. Hilkuk Sarklizar Biksamim Lufi Shikla Das. Shane Dama Cholas Rabba. We don't have. Our bugs certainly don't bleed too much. Ubinin Shu Roa Shane Roy Littles. And we know that we don't have what to be told on. Vitema Laposkim Shaloviu Klal Devarov. So I can't imagine why the Poskim didn't quote the Sefer Yerayim. That you just can't be told on a gris b'chlal. Meaning, the most obvious nafkamina of whether we can still use it says if you're aim, you can't. Umutsashi b'shuvs b'sum rosh, sim kuflam reish ha'kasav, al dvar kasim paksum e gris, harav rablaz b'mitz kasav, she'enon b'kir b'shir zeh, v'kov lo much l'mil s'shudam ha'cholos lo samchin alay. And the heilig b'sum rosh says that you're not allowed to be told on. So we do take the B'Sam Rosh seriously. It's quoted in Pesach Yishuvi, even though we know that it's a forgery. Right? That's the Chasam Sofer cleverly used to refer to it as the Kizvei Harash instead of the Kisvei Harash. So even though we know that it's a forgery, but you know, it's a very important some rosh in Choshen Mishpat, at the end of Choshen Mishpat by Pikuach Nefesh. There are certain some roshes that okay, but you see very clearly that's we of course do rely. And Shira Shevet Alevi says, I think we mentioned the other day, that if someone wants to be machmir for the shita seireim, he's allowed to do so, and she could even say a bracha on the tefillah. Okay, those are our nafkaminas.
Going back to the fifth nafkamina with the ichein abadak, even if you hold that it's a seir, it doesn't disqualify you from holding up the tefillah aspect of it. I mean, for sure the Gemara holds the tefillah, the question is, would we extend that even where you don't have an ability to tell?
The question is, no, oh, meaning, you're right, meaning a tliya l'chora, if you had a real tliya, then the shir gris shouldn't make a difference on the shir abadik, right? Because if you have a real tliya for a larger stain, so does this, so we'll use that. Right, that's a good point. Meaning the din of tliya is not a din in gris, the din of tliya can be in any size. So if you're going to rely on another tliya, on an external tliya that's not macholis related, so then you should be able to rely on it anyway. Yeah, maybe I need clarity on that. I don't know. Gotta look. Gotta look up the Makarva Survey Force quotes. It's on page 189, footnote 3, Survey Force, if anyone wants to take a look, do the homework for us. Okay, next issue is how do we measure it? So this is a very important issue, obviously, when you're dealing with shaylos. I got the greatest gift from Rav David Willig a while ago. Did I show this to you guys? I showed it to you? I showed it. David Willig gave me this. See, the problem with measuring the gris is that it's not always a circle, right? So it's all different shapes. So someone figured out 19 millimeters in every different shape on a clear card. So if let's say this were the baguette, and I see that I could just hold it over, you know, each one of these shapes and figure out, it makes it so much easier. It's like, it's such a, who put this out? Machon HaHalacha, copyright 2019. What?
It's probably cost $48.
It's worth it. 19 millimeters. That's the assumption. Okay, so in case any of you were thinking of coming up with this idea yourself, it's already been thought.
It's a
brought to you by Kosher Innovations, the people who bought your kosher land.
That was also originally bigger, but they had to shrink the size of
the I assume they would have done more shapes, but they had to fit everything onto a card, right? So that's okay. So there is a stira between two passages in the Gemara, or a seeming stira between two passages in the Gemara that really gets the issue rolling over here in terms of how to measure. And Daf Nun Tesamid Aleph, the Gemara says Tanya Kesem Aruch Mitzdarif. Tipin, ain't mitzdarfin. Okay, if you have a long kesem, it's mitzdarif. You have drops, they're not mitzdarif. Anun ches of an olive, bay Rabbi Yirmiyah, kashir, kashura, mahu. What if it's shaped in a funny way? It's like a circle, you know, like a bracelet circle, not like a drop. And then, tipin, mahu, l'rochav yirecha mahu, it's on the, across the width of her thigh, if it was dripping out of her body, it should have gone lengthwise. Tashma, al-besara, safik tahar, tame. Al-besara, my love, ki agavna? Doesn't al-besara mean like these kinds of situations that you're going to say tame? Well, dilma david ki ritzua. Maybe it's a case of ritzua. So the Rashba and the Ravid, the Rashba in Torah Sabai is Zayin Dalid, and the Ravid in Sharak Samim, Simim Gimel Alachi Yates, both say that we don't rely on the last line, that it is Kiritsua, since that's only a Dichuya. Meaning we say, oh, Dilma David Kiritsua. No, we assume, my love Ki Agavna, that it's Ki Agavna, we're going to say Tameh. That in these situations of Tipin Tipin, of Kashir, Kashura, in all these cases, we're going to say Tameh. Because the last line was just a dechuya ba'alma. So we're machmir to be mitzdarif, drops of blood, to a sheer gris, but only when they're on the body. On a cloth, we're not mitzdarif. Right? That's the chilik. That's the sheet of the tour as well. So that assumes that a shear gris applies even when it's found on the body. Meaning this teretz to the stira, that the difference is between whether it's on the beged or whether it's on the body, assumes that a shear gris applies even when it's on the body. Teep and on a beged are not mitzdarif with each other. Teep and on the body are mitzdarif with each other. So very often you'll have that. A beged will present itself. It doesn't come by itself, someone puts it in your mailbox. But a beged, you'll see a beged, and there'll be a stain here, a little space, a stain there. So, and each stain might be red, but they're not mitzdarif with each other. The color, the two stains are not mitzdarif with each other on a beged. But on the body, they'll be mitzdarif with each other. That's how the Torah writes as well. So it seems that a shear gris applies even on the body. However, the Beis Yosef writes, Mashma milashon harash, disvirulei dekesem shal basara afilu bepachos mika gris tamea, ukedivere Rambam shekasafi leel, shaykasav dal basara lo talinu b'dam acholos. Right, we already saw, shitas Rambam, that you're not told b'dam acholos when it's al basara. And says the Beis Yosef, very critically, that the Rush says like the Rambam. Ooh. So if the Rush says like the Rambam, and the Mechaber generally passes, Rambam, Rush, Rif, best out of three, you would imagine he should have passed in that way. However, the Beis Yosef points out that that's not the case. Even though it's Mashma originally that way from Lashon Rosh, the Rush and the Rambam disagree. The Beis Yosef points out the Rosh and the Rambam agree with each other. They disagree with they clearly are disagreeing with the Rashba and the Ravid's teretz of how to be miyashiv the Gemara. The Rosh and the Rambam assume that the earlier Gemara is not discussing the shear of the stain, but the likelihood that it came from the body, considering its unusual shape. Two totally different sugyas. One sugya is about are we mitzdarif to the shear grizz? And the other sugya is about how realistic is this, that this could have come from the body. The lashon of the Rambam is kesem animtzal besara shu aruch kiritzua o ogul o shayu tipin tipin o shayu orach hakesem al rochav yirecha o shayu nira kilu mimata lemaila, or it looks like it dripped the wrong way, right, upper leg instead of downer leg. Hol vu kineged beis hatur for tameya veinom rivim notav meaguf lo haya kazeh. That's what we're machmir when we say Tameya. And we don't say, oh, but I can't imagine how this would have happened. How could her body produce a stain that looks like this? Shekol adam anintzo b'mekomos elu, machmirbo, afal bishu safek. Any dam found on the inner thigh, let's say, for now, we're going to have to be machmir, even though it's a safek. Rav Asner just points out, just to summarize, there are three ways to read the Gemara's question. Tosfos understands that the Gemara assumes you need a shear gris, even on skin, and the question is whether tipin are mitzdarif to that shear gris. The Rashba in Taras Abayis understands that the Gemara assumes that tipin are not mitzdarif, both on the beged and on the basar, and that you need a shear gris even bibsara. The question is where each drop was larger than a gris, but were shaped in a weird way that made them look like they didn't come from the body. And that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. And the Magid Mishnah, in his understanding of the Rambam, says that, no, each drop is smaller than a gris, and her basar, and on her basar, a mashu will be enough to be metameh. So there's no question about tziruf. The whole question is only about a funny shape. There's not an issue of tziruf whatsoever. La halacha, says the Mechaber, sivches, halacha, Yemein bekesem b'makom echad kigris va'od, afal pi sheyesham tipin harbe smuchin zelazeh ad shem nitzar from yesh b'hem yoser mikigris tahora shana talon kol tipa v'tipa bikina ad shem kigris va'od b'makom echad v'yesh omrim dani mili kishenim tzu al chaluka avam nitzar al v'sara mitzar from kigris va'od. So he says some say that this idea of being mitzari of different ksamim is only on a beged. But on the basar, of not being mitzdarif, different ksamim is only on the beged, but on the basar, we will be mitzdarif, different ksamim. So Mechaber first quotes that we're not mitzdarif, different small stains, but then yesh omrim, that kula won't apply on the skin. How do you pass him when the Mechaber says something like that?
Stam.
So is it a stam and a yesh omrim, or is it a stam and then a clarification? Meaning, or a qualification?
Yeah.
of that halacha. So I also would read Stam and Yesh Omrim. That Stam is, look, we're not mitzarev different stains. Different stains together, not mitzarev. Yesh Omrim, that yes, they are if they're on the basa. The Sidrei Tara, Nos Tezayin, says that even though he only quotes it from Yesh Omrim, it's the opinion of Rov Poskim, and it should be followed. The Ramban, the Ravid, Tosos, Tur. So he thinks we should follow that Yesh Omrim. And maybe you could read it that way, that it's a further qualification. Now, what is this assuming? What's this assuming? This whole Sif is assuming something. Remember what major assumption is this whole Sif making?
Not like the Rambam,
right? That if it's on the basar, if it's less than a gris, it's fine. That even the sheer gris applies even to the basar. So then you can have a whole discussion. Okay, but how do I measure the sheer gris? Do we have a chumra that we're mitzarif different stains? So the Shach points out that we're assuming that only a stain larger than a gris will be mitami on the basar, like the first day in Sivav, not like the Rambam. So Pischei Tshuva in Sivkat Yedbeis quotes a bina sadam. What about if the stain is found on a pleat? You know what a pleat is? It used to be the more. It's fine. Nowadays everyone wears very tight. Oh, do I have? Oh, I have. It's like when the baguette folds over itself and they sew it that way. Half good. Oh, no, the Brooks Brothers. Yeah. Do you have Brooks Brothers over here?
Sure.
What?
No,
all shirts. All shirts. Brooks Brothers has like a lot, right? So, right? Those things. Yeah? Okay. So what if you find a stain on a pleat? Let's say a woman is wearing Brooks Brothers women's wear. And do they have? They probably know that. They do? Brooks Sisters. Okay. So you find a stain on a pleat. So why is that a shame to find a stain on a pleat? Because it looks like it's the size of a penny, but if you just like pull the fabric a little bit, so there's a lot of light in between because it was folded over itself. So if the blood would have landed flat, so you could pull it. And then now you'll have a bunch of smaller stains that are all smaller than a penny. So how are you done on that? Now, Misvara, how would you be done on that? What would you assume? Is that a gris or is that not a gris?
Gris.
I would have assumed, right? Definitely a gris. Meaning you can't cheat like, right, if you cut it, you know, then you'll have a lot of smaller stains also. But you can't do that. So this Rishuba quotes a Binas Adam who says that on a pleat they're not mitzarev if they're not sewn together. However, Yoruch HaShulchan says that it had to be viewed as one keset. Because that is ridiculous. Yoruch HaShulchan Sefam Ches. Totally not mitzarev to view them separately. Furthermore, even the Binas Adam was only maker by a pleat on a sleeve. Brooks Brothers. But a pleat on an undergarment you for sure have to be not. Says a pleat on a sleeve. Maybe the begging was already it would have been like stretched in the wrong place or something to end up there. So this relates to okay. So for a pleat, of course, we're going to be machmir. It doesn't sound so nogea, but it's okay in the following way. What if you have a problematic color connected by non-problematic colors, right? Meaning which happens all the time. There's a large stain. There's a little bit of red in that part, in the top left-hand side of the stain, a little bit of red on the edges, a little bit of red over there. But in between all that red is colors that are tough. So it comes along with Rabbi Kivegan, Sif Yud, and he connects that to a similar discussion, not about a single stain, but about a stain that covers part of a garment, not about a stain that has different colors. What if you have a stain with one color, but it covers parts of a garment that are white and parts that are not white. Meaning a lot of times the begadim have multiple colors in them, right? Some of you are wearing striped shirts, so you have white and blue in your shirt. So they make women's undergarments that way also, with all sorts of different designs and colors. So a lot of times there's some white and some not white. And she has a stain that covers some of the white, some of the not. And my wife always tells the colors that when they were going to buy the linens, the chassan teacher ever talks about like what kinds of linens to buy because it's not their decision anyway. But my wife always tells the colleague, when you're going to buy linens, try to avoid buying white linens. For Shimon Akim, we'll discuss whether you need white linens or not, but certainly in general, try to avoid white linens. So just last week, my wife showed me that wonderful colleague sent her a picture of a linen that had white and not white. right? It was like a floral design, and the flowers were white, and the area around not white. So that's the shayla. What if you were to find this? Now, are you allowed to buy it? You could buy it. You just might be causing yourself trouble. So the question is, are you causing yourself trouble? Right? Is it a, you know, as a guy? I don't even understand the question. Like, if you have any something about it, like, just get a different sheet. Like, why in the world would you choose that sheet? You know, Elamai, you want us to have something to talk about. You want us to learn Rabbi Kivager. So Rabbi Kivager connects us to that discussion. Chavos Das is quoted by Pesukei Teshuva that...
What? This is still part of Rabbi Kivager.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, this relates to it. Chavos Das, quoted in Pesukei Teshuva, says that even the non-problematic colors count toward the gris. Wow, because you know the color. So if you know the color, you know it's red, right? So it's because it's on the white, you see very clearly that it's red. And you know that the whole stain is larger than a gris. So you have a red stain that's larger than a gris. And therefore, we have to be machmir, says the Chavos Das. But the Pesukei Teshuva quotes the Mi'ol Tzedakah, Siman Samach Beis, that only the problematic colors are counted. Meaning only the white part is counted. Or I should say, only the problematic colors are counted, which would be the same. They're mitzvahs. Even though they're viewed as one big mare, and therefore they're mitzvahs with each other, we're only going to count. Let me be clear over here. We have two shaylas. Shaila number one is you have one big mare, but it has some red parts and some non-red parts. Shaila number two is you have one big mare that's all the same color, but it's sitting on a beged that's different colors, that's both white and color. So Rabbi Kivager says same shaila. The point is that you have certain parts that are very clearly, you know, going to be an issue, and other parts that don't seem like they're going to be an issue. If it's on a big day tzivonu, right? Or there are problems that are not a color. So do you say, look, I know this isn't a macholas because it's bigger than a penny. Let's take shayla number one. You have a large stain; it's bigger than a penny, but there's less than a penny worth of red in there. So do you say, look, I know this wasn't macholas because the thing is bigger than a penny, and I see that there's red. Mele, I have to be metame, or do I say no? I don't look at the things that aren't red, and the things that are red are smaller than a penny, and I can be told of that in a macholas.
Yeah.
Is
this
tole in
the hakir again?
So it should be tole in that hakir, right? So the Mil Tzedakah says, and this is that what we assume, that if you have a stain that has different colors, you only look at the red parts, and they are mitzdarif because it's one big stain. It's not multiple stains. Multiple stains would not be mitzdarif. But if you have one big stain and only some problematic colors, they are mitzdarif. The problematic colors are mitzdarif to each other, but the stuff in between doesn't count. That's what we assume. So the one big stain on the two different colors, the poskim are makil not to count the area in between, meaning we assume like Rabbi Kivager that these two halachos are the same. Rabbi Kivager says we can equate these two halachos, and therefore we're only mitzdarif the parts that are on white. It's still a stupid thing to buy, you know. You don't know how big your stains are going to be. You don't know if you'll find the stain, but you don't know how big your stains are going to be. So it's not a smart idea to buy it, but that's what we would assume. Rabbi Kivager writes, "Im hu menumar tseva al lavan va'akesem al tseva v'yotze al kitzvosav al lavan, that there are edges of the stain that are on the white as well. Im b'mashe yesh al lavan yesh bo kigris va'od hatseva mitzar from the kesem echad. Even though in the middle there's color, but on the edges it's a white baguette, and the stain covers all of it. So it's all mitzdarif. Avol main bo kashir rak mitzdarfus masha ala tzeva tahora. But if it's only a kagris, when you count what's on the colors, then it's tahora. Chuvus mil sakas im sam kveis. V'chein, says Rabbi Kivager, im ra'a kasam lavan, u'bishnei kitzvos of mara edom, halava mitzdarfun la edom. She'yeh kasam echad. V'yesh v'adom yachad shir kasam tmeya. And therefore, says Rabbi Kivager, the same is going to be true if you have a yellow that's connecting two reds. Fascinating Rav Moshe in Yerodeh Chelek Gimel Simen Nun Gimel is machmir for the Chavos Das, because he thinks it's more logical. Again, Chavos Das, quoted by the Pesachei Teshuva, says that even the non-problematic colors count toward the gris. Rav Moshe is machmir that way. He says it's more mistake. But he says we can be mekel lemisha in lo banim u'bishas adchak, meaning recognize Rabbi Kiveger as a significant posek, so kedai lismoch alav b'shas adchak. Logic is obvious, right? The fact that we're still mekel pachim adgris nowadays, Chavos Das says we treat places that don't have macholas as if they still do. That would mean that if the stain is a single stain that has red and is larger than a gris, it wouldn't have been made by the macholas. You wouldn't be able to be told them. The Mil Tzedakah, who we follow generally, who most of the Yachon follow, assume that it's a low plug, pachas mikashir, that you need the shir kulo dafka v'makom shemetame kesed v'mara shemetame. It's a low plug. What if the two stains, like if you were to look at the garment, you would say, oh, those are two stains. But then you look more closely and you see they're connected by this like very slight line. Like how connected is connected? How do we define one stain versus two stains? Because two stains are not recycled with each other, but one stain, all the red parts of the story. And this sounds like so esoteric. These are like, this is like l'maisa, l'maisa, l'maisa. It's like maisim b'chol yom, these shadows come up. So there's a machlokas kordim zarki tshuva about that. I think generally the meaning is to be machmir about that. That if they're connected at all, then we're machmir. In Siftes, the Mechaber says that no matter how oddly shaped the Kesem al Basara might be, if it's connected based on Torah, if she's Tameya. Okay. Now, as far as just practically measuring things. Yeah.
Well, I would have been the scholar to say, non-problem colors
without the Pesachim, it would be non-problematic.
So why now, with the problem colors,
would
you
start to
count them as the gris?
Because if you're being told b'macholas, so it doesn't make sense that to be told b'macholas if the stain is larger than a pen.
No, meaning the non-problematic colors, why would that now count as the gris?
Same story, meaning a macholas doesn't produce, you know, all of this, right? A stain like this.
Based on that logic, even if there was only a tiny drop of red,
right?
Right. Okay.
Now, one could argue, come on, it could be that she had other secretions from her body, and there was a macholas. Nechitesi, that just because it was on the same spot, but that's what you have to say. If it's one stain, is assumed to have one source.
So, you have one little drop and a bunch of different stains of non-problematic colors, they would
Chavos Das would be
machmir. Yeah. Does that connect with him? If she knows she killed machlokes, but she's got more than a gris of blood there.
Right. We relate to that, right? Or the case that we're going to have in the Shulchan Aruch, right, where two women and there's only X amount of blood, and they each have that amount of blood, so you have to machmir. You can't account for it. You got to be able to account for it. So just as far as like measuring, just certain basic measuring things. When there are multiple red parts, if you are not zocha to have a card like I just showed you with the, because that's the easiest way to measure is you just hold it over. So very often, what that card helps for is if you have a stain that's an unusual shape, but the whole thing is red, right? Or you have a part of the stain that's red. But if you have multiple parts that are red, so what's helpful to do is to fold them together and then use that card, or the old fashioned would be to take a penny, put it under the baguette, and try to fold over all the red parts over the penny. It's not like an easy thing to do. It's much easier with the card, but I would caution against just using your own spatial recognition, because a lot of times like you're off. I mean, at least I would be way off a lot of times, and probably I'd be way too machmir also. Meaning, you should, 90 millimeters. Another very common shayla is that very often the stain seeps through multiple layers. meaning a woman knew what she was supposed to do. She wore big dates of women during Shiva Nikim, not during Shiva Nikim, at times that were not Shiva Nikim. She wore colored undergarments. She also wore tights over the undergarments. And the blood seeped through the garment, let's say a black garment that she was wearing. The blood seeped through and it landed, some of it left a stain on the tights that she's wearing over the undergarments. So the tights, let's say, are white. Or let's say they're not white. Even non-white tights sometimes have a white area by the crotch. They'll have a white crotch. So that's where the stain ends up. So it seeped through the Begat Tzavonim and landed on the white part. So, okay, so if it's bigger than a gris, there's no shayla. Right? If it lands on white and it's bigger than a gris and it's red, you're stuck, right? She's Tumeya. It happens to be lemaisa, lemaisa, lemaisa. If you really look at those at the tights that women wear, it's not really white. It's whiter than the black tights, but it's really gray. If you were to hold like a white piece of paper right next to it, you would see very, very clearly that it's not white. It's really gray, and because it's gray, it's really fine. But let's say she's wearing white tights. Let's say she's wearing, right. So then you would have a problem. But what happens? What about the following case? What are you talking about? She's wearing black undergarments and it seeps through. On the underwear, it's way bigger than a gris. On the tights underneath that are white, it's smaller than a gris, but it's red. So what are you talking about?
She's saying the same story.
Same achlokas, right? This is the same issue. Rabbi Akiva equated, over on a single garment that has multiple colors, with a case of a stain that has multiple colors. So, might not mean whether it's a single garment that has multiple colors, or it's two different garments, right? L'chor, it's the same shayla, and therefore, as long as you have less than a penny's worth on the white part, or in this case, on the white garment, you're going to be perfectly okay. Rav Neuberger was noted to say that way as well. I asked him, he thought that should be no different. Can you think of a chiluk though? And maybe it should be different? I don't know, I just thought if it's one right on top of the other, the stain on the bottom one is the stain on the top one. It's not a separate stain. When they're one right next to each other, there's that blood and there's that blood. This is the same blood that just seeped all the way through. But okay, Pashas is like Rav Neuberger said, Arminigus Vimekel, against Rav Moshe's recommendation, against the Chavos Das, like the Mil Tzedakah. And then final thing, and then we'll call it a day, Pischei Tshuva and Sivkat and Tes discusses a thick stain that could have easily been more than a gris if it were more spread out. Meaning, you see, it's like it's got mamushes to it. So it's just a matter of how pressed it was against the fabric. Right? If it was pressed a little more, it definitely would have been more than a gris. But it just wasn't so pressed against the fabric. So Pischei Tshuva says that the Sidrei Torah leaves it as a safek. Happens to be the Aruch HaShulchan says that the minhag is to be mekel on such a thing, which is mistaken. Meaning you're going to have to start figuring out like how thin should blood be when spread out. It would be impossible to measure that. We have to be able to measure things. So it's hard enough to measure gris. So therefore, no matter the thickness or thinness of the stain, we're always going to assume that if it's less than a penny, then it's okay. If it's larger than a penny, then it's a problem. Okay, Bezrim, tomorrow I want to get into Dvar Mishen Makabim Tuma and Big Day Tzavonim, which is Sif Yud, essentially. And then we'll go from there. Probably we'll have enough to say just on Sif Yud to... I don't know, I haven't prepared yet, but I think there will probably be enough to say. Then we'll go from there, Paiter in Ksum. We hit most of the major things right at that time. So we'll, yeah. Okay, have a great day, everybody.